الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance, there are many excellences, fada'il of reciting As-salat ala al-Nabi, salutations upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in the blessed environment of Da'wat Islami, time and time again we hear of these great virtues. In al-qawl al-badi' fi salati ala al-habib al-shafi', written by Allama Sakhawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he includes, إِذَا أَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَدْعُوا. When one of you intends to supplicate, when one of you intends to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is desirous that his dua is accepted. He's making dua and he wants his dua to be accepted. And of course, this goes for everyone. When you make dua, you also want your dua to be accepted as well. How should you go about making dua then? First of all, when you make dua, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we do when we make dua, we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and extolling Him. Then what do you do after you've done that? Then he should send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you make dua, first hamd wa thana, and then after that, salat ala al-Nabi. And then one should ask for his need. And it shouldn't be the case that we're rushing into dua. We raise our hands, Ya Allah, give me this, Ya Allah, give me that. But we don't follow the proper etiquette, adab of dua. We don't recite hamd and thana of Allah. We don't send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not the correct way. We should praise Allah and then send salat upon the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. Then ask for our needs. Why? Because this thing, saying hamd and salat, this is that thing which leads to your dua being more worthy of acceptance. Make your dua more worthy of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very important that we follow these manners as well. And we don't rush when supplicating and making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Whenever you get a chance to make dua, and we should make dua all the time, you should ask Allah for every need of ours. Start your dua with hamd and thana and then salat ala al-nabi. Inshallah, you will see your duas being accepted. Honorable brothers and viewers of Madini Channel, now as you know, in this month, believers, Muslims, look for many ways of increasing their reward, no doubt. Because we've been told a nafli act is rewarded the same as a fard act. And a fard, obligatory act, is given 70 times the reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most generous. Now, one thing that Muslims do in this blessed month of Ramadan is that they try to feed their fellow Muslims. Try to provide iftar. And this is not something which has begun later on amongst the Muslims. This was something that was done right at the beginning of Islam. And why was this done? Because the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam himself mentioned the rewards of providing iftar to someone. Let us hear those narrations, a few of them, inshallah. In one narration, which is found in Mu'jam al-Kabir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who serves any Muslim halal food or water as iftar, angels during the month of Ramadan, and Jibreel alayhi salam on the night of power, on the night of Laylatul Qadr, make dua for his forgiveness. When you provide iftar to someone in the month of Ramadan, what happens? The angels make dua for you during Ramadan. And on Laylatul Qadr, that night which is greater than 1,000 months, on that night, Jibreel alayhi salam makes dua for you. So when this is the case, when the innocent, sinless angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making dua for us, then we cannot show heedlessness in this regard. We should try and provide iftar in any capacity we can. Another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is in Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah, the one who serves water to a fasting person, Allah Almighty will make him drink from my reservoir, my pond, and he will not be thirsty until he enters paradise. What it means here is even in paradise he will not feel thirst. The question arises, why will people drink in paradise then? Why is there different types of drinks in paradise? Mashrubat. We've heard about the famous four rivers of paradise. Now here the ulama explain and they say, in Jannah, inshallah, a believer will not drink to quench his thirst. Rather, he will only drink for the taste. He will only eat for the taste of the food. That's the only purpose. And every luqma, we're told, will have a different taste. So this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we want these rewards, we want to drink from the hawd of Kawthar, the reservoir which has been granted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what must we do? We must provide iftar to a fasting person. We must include them as well, inshallah, in any way you can, according to your ability. Now, let's listen to further narrations about the exclusivity of this month. Remember, this month of Ramadan Kareem holds superiority over the other months, other Islamic months of the year. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when the first night of Ramadan arrives, Allah Azza wa Jal looks at the believers with mercy. And whoever Allah looks at with mercy, he will never subject them to punishment. Another narration, the smell emanating from the mouths of fasting people in this month of Ramadan in the evening due to hunger is better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than even the fragrance of musk. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the believer for remaining hungry. Pleased with the believer because why? He leaves that which is halal. Water you can drink. It's jais, permissible. But in the month of Ramadan, because you know the command of Allah is from dusk till dawn, you are not to eat or drink, and you refrain from that which is jais and permissible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. And here we're told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the court of Allah, the smell that emanates at the time of iftar, in the evening, from the mouth of a fasting person, is greater in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the fragrance of even musk. Angels continue to make dua for the forgiveness of fasting people day and night. Another narration, Allah Almighty orders paradise. Allah Ta'ala commands paradise, gives a hukam to Jannah, paradise. Become decorated for my righteous servants. They soon will find peace in my home and blessings from the difficulties of the world. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this to Jannah. Sometimes in the dunya, when difficulties overcome us, calamities, afflictions, problems, then we don't see a way out. And in that situation, we need to remain firm. And we need to have full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this time will pass. As was mentioned in this narration, Allah ta'ala is saying to Jannah, paradise, that when people enter the abode of Jannah, then they'll be free from all those difficulties that they went through. They will forget about them. But in the dunya, that's where the test is. When we go through difficulties, we think, nobody's going through a test like mine. Or this is unbearable, this is difficult. But a believer, he always has his sight on the mercy of Allah, that any moment, relief can come from the corner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these tests are going to take place. Greater people than us face tests in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, who are the greatest from all of creation, no doubt, they faced great tests. Many Anbiya alayhim salam were martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of them. So, the prophetic advice in this regard is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you have a difficulty, remember my difficulty. Because when we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was persecuted by people of his own tribe, they drove him out of Al-Makkatul Mukarramah. What happened in Taif when stones were pelted in the direction of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that his blessed sandals were filled with blood? Those difficulties were great. So, tests will come, difficulties will come, but always have your sight on the mercy of Allah, that Ya Allah, you have placed me in this difficulty, and Ya Allah, you are all powerful and can remove me out of this situation as well. Can take me out of this situation. Can completely transform my state and condition. So inshallah, when we're in Jannah, none of this will be remembered. All these difficulties in life. And if we're from the Sabireen, if we remain patient upon these difficulties in the dunya, then we receive reward there as well, inshallah. On the last night of Ramadan, Allah Almighty forgives all the Muslims. Forgives those who fasted in His way. Someone from the Ummah stood when the Prophet ﷺ said these things and humbly asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this Laylatul Qadr? And the Prophet ﷺ replied, no. Do you not see that laborers are given their wage when they finish their work? Meaning the Sahabi asked if the forgiveness will be attained on the night of power. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, right at the end of the month. When the month has concluded, that's when forgiveness will be given, inshallah. Now, what is important to note is that whilst fasting, we don't fall into a state of heedlessness where we're just passing time. We're constantly looking at our watch, our mobile phone, looking at the time of iftar. How many hours have I got? Okay, I'm going to spend 1 hour playing games on the console. I'm going to spend a couple of hours doing this activity. I'm going to spend a few hours doing this. And by doing so, I'll reach iftar. And if those activities are all useless, frivolous activities, then they must be avoided. Instead, a person should make his jadwal, his schedule in such a way, leading up to iftar, that he is engrossed in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engaged in the worship of Allah azza wa jal. I remember that could be in many forms. He could be sitting amongst his children at home, teaching them Quranic stories, reading an Islamic book to them, discussing and conversating with them regarding an Islamic topic, or sitting collectively at home with your kids reciting Durood Sharif and saying, let's get to 1,000. Let's read Durood Sharif 1,000 times. And all the kids should be involved, family should be involved. Make a jadwal, a schedule where you're reciting Quran every single day, reading Islamic literature every day, you're watching Madani channel, Islamic lectures every single day. And this way, you won't just be passing your time, you'll be rewarded for all the things that you're doing leading up to the time of iftar, inshallah. Now, remember that Ramadan is the month of the Quran. It's mentioned, those who recite the Quran have been praised and commended in the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah. Loving the Holy Quran, reciting and acting upon it, is a means of loving Allah Almighty and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Upon reading a single letter of the Quran, a single letter a person attains 10 good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ explained that Alif, Lam, Meem is not one letter. Alif is one letter. Lam is one letter. And Meem is one letter. So when you read Alif, Lam, Meem, 30 good deeds will be given to you, inshallah. And imagine reading a complete ruku, a quarter of a para, a complete part of the Quran, one para every day. Imagine the rewards you will gain. How many letters are in one para? Thousands and thousands. So this is something that we should aim towards. Also, we're told, the home in which the Quran is recited becomes blessed for those who live within it. When you're reciting Quran at home, blessings are descending. This is something else that we need to implement in our homes. If it's the case that music is playing, films and dramas, all sorts of un-Islamic activities are taking place, and then on top of that we're facing problem after problem, then we only have ourselves to blame. If there's no time for Quran in the home, nobody's reading Quran in the home, then where is the barakah going to come from? Also, by reciting the Quran, goodness increases in a household as well. We're told that angels visit a home in which the Quran is recited and devils leave that home. There's a problem today that people say this satanic influences, this magic, this that, and nobody's denying the presence or the existence of these things. But what we have to question ourselves is, are we causing that ourselves? By doing certain actions, activities in our homes that lead to those influences increasing. And we're told here by the ulama, angels visit the home in which the Quran is recited. We want angels to come to our homes. And we're told shaitan leaves that home in which Quran is recited. Now we have to make efforts. Also, it's stated on the Day of Judgment, the Quran will come to intercede for those who recited it. Those who recited Al-Quranul Kareem, the Quran will intercede and ask in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, send this person to paradise because he had love for me, he had attachment with me, he recited me. We want to be amongst those who gain the intercession of the Quran, inshallah. Also, we're told, those who recited the Quran will receive greater reward from Allah than those who were thankful from the Shakirin. Remember, the Shakirin also have a very high rank. But in this narration, we're told that those who recited the Quran will have a greater rank, a superior rank. Recitation of the Quran is the most excellent act of worship for this ummah. The greatest action of this ummah is what? Reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem. So right at the top of our priority should be what? Reciting the Quran. And how good would it be if you recite it every single day? Not only in the month of Ramadan, throughout the year as well. Imagine the mercy and blessings that will descend upon such a person. Subhanallah. Then we're told, reciting the Holy Quran is a means of cleansing the heart. This is in Shu'abul Iman. Our heart, remember, gathers rust, accumulates rust. How when we sin, we're told in a narration that a black spot enters the heart or appears on the heart. And if we don't repent, we continue sinning, more and more black dots appear on the heart to the extent that the entire heart becomes black. And the mafhum, the overview of the hadith is that when this happens, a person tries to guide him, he's not willing to listen. Nasiha doesn't affect such a person's heart. So by reciting the Quran, inshallah, that rust, those black spots that have gathered because of sins will be removed as well. Will be cleansed, inshallah, will be purified by reciting the Quran, inshallah. Now moving on, in terms of siyam, in terms of sawm, fasting, and in terms of the sa'imin, the fasting people, the ulama have said there are three types of fasting people. There are three types of fasting people. You could say in terms of daraja, in terms of rank. First of all, you have the fasting of the general public. Fasting of the general public is exactly that, meaning only refraining from eating, drinking, and intimate relations. The bare minimum. And then you have the fasting of the elite, a superior category now. And this particular group, they not only avoid eating, drinking, and intimate marital relations, but they go beyond that. And they prevent all their body parts from sins in a state of fasting. They prevent all their body parts from sins. This is the second category, which is greater than the first category. And then the third category of fasting people is the fasting of the distinguished, the khawas. And they go beyond the second category as well. They refrain from eating, drinking, marital relations, protect their body parts from sinning. And then beyond that, what do? They ensure that all their time is spent engrossed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is something that we should aspire to. Nobody said it's easy. But if we don't have a goal, then how are we going to achieve? You only work towards the goal once it's firmly embedded in your mind. And we should want to go into the second category. We should want to go into the third category of fasting people who protect their body parts from sins and they avoid everything else, remembrance of everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here, concluding the bayan, just a few pointers, a few tips regarding what is meant by fasting in such a way that you're protecting your body part from sins. Now remember, Allah Ta'ala has granted us this body. This is an amana. We'll be returned to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We'll be asked, we know on the Day of Judgment, hands will be sealed. They will speak. Other body parts will be sealed. And they will speak. And they will bear witness for or against us. Now here the ulama explained, they say, each and every limb of yours in the state of fast should only do that which is in accordance to the Sharia that the Prophet ﷺ brought. Which is in accordance to that which the Book of Allah commands. Let's take for example, eyesight or eyes that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. We have eyes, a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just blindfold yourself for a minute or two. Or ensure that the room is pitch black, dark, and you can't see anything. Imagine the fear that will overcome you. Imagine the uneasiness, how uncomfortable you'd feel. And we are blessed in that Allah Ta'ala has granted us sight. Now once Allah Jalla wa Ala has granted us eyesight, what is the requirement? What is the taqaza now? Especially in a state of fast. That our eyesight only looks at that which is permissible, which is jais and halal. You know, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam predominantly, most of the time, would look towards the floor. Would keep his gaze lowered. Keep his eyesight lowered. This is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the Quran we're told, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. That say to the believers that they should lower their eyesight. It's a Quranic teaching. Now imagine someone's fasting. He wakes up for suhoor, all the way till iftar, he's refraining from eating, drinking. But his eyesight is wandering everywhere. He's not thinking about whether it's allowed for me to look at this or look at that. And you tell me, ask yourselves, will he gain the spirituality of the fasting, of the fast? Of course not. In fact, he'll be accumulating sins in a state of fast as well. So that's why fasting of the eyes is important as well. Protecting the eyes, preserving the eyes is also very important. The eyes are the key to the heart. Want to purify your heart, you have to purify your eyes. In a state of fast, you have to ensure that your ears are also fasting. Allah Ta'ala has blessed it with ears. What should we do with these ears? We should listen to the recitation of the Quran. Listen to the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Listen to nasiha, advice, Islamic sermons and lectures. But if in a state of fast, again, one's feeling hungry, one's refraining from food and water and drink, but he's listening to music, is listening to unlawful things, listening to backbiting, tale-telling, gossiping, then how can he attain the benefits of fasting? So he should be listening to the Quran, listening to the instruction of his parents. Similarly, with the eyes, he should be gazing towards his parents affectionately. We're told that the reward of Hajj Mabrood is given to that person who looks at his parents with an affectionate gaze. With eyes, one should glance towards images and pictures of Kaaba al-Musharrafa, the blessed masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama, the awliya, the saliheen. So this is the fasting of the body parts. Hands, tongue, people who speak indecently during fasting, how can they attain the full blessings of fasting? So, to conclude, dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madani Channel, that fasting is an important ibadah, but we must ensure that we're not only doing the bare minimum, we're going beyond that, and we're fasting with all our bodily limbs. We're protecting our eyes, we're protecting our ears, our heart, we're not thinking negatively about others. We're not having su'udhan, negative assumptions about others. We need to ensure that our hands are not committing harm. What did the Prophet ﷺ said? That the Muslim is he. The Prophet ﷺ defined a Muslim by saying, is he from whose hand and tongue another believer remains safe from. Now, if we're fasting, we're in the state of Ramadan, but our fellow Muslim is not protected from the harm of our tongue and our hands, then tell us, how is that person going to attain bliss in this month of Ramadan? How is he going to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? So like this, one should do ghur, one should reflect, one should ponder. Is my fasting leading to a greater level of taqwa? What was the purpose of fasting? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you prove to yourself, yes, I can. I can refrain from jais things, I can refrain to a greater extent from haram things as well. If I can fast and stay away from food and drink all day, then I can also stay away from haram as well. I can ensure that my eyes are protected, my ears are protected. And once you're out of Ramadan, because of the training, the spiritual training gained from this month of Ramadan, all year round, subhanallah, your taqwa level should be high as well, inshallah. That is the purpose of Ramadan Kareem. That is the goal of Ramadan Kareem. Inshallah ta'ala, we pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that he grants us full reward in this month of Ramadan. And he grants us all tawfiq to maximize our time. We're protecting all our bodily limbs. We're even instructing others about the same. Some people feel shy. Oh, I can't mention anything to others. I feel a bit shy. But remember, in works of goodness, in works of virtues, you shouldn't show shyness. Shyness should be shown. Haya should be shown in doing haram things. Before doing a haram thing, that no, I can't do this. The haya inside me should prevent me from doing sins. It shouldn't prevent me from doing good deeds. So this is the goal of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the fast that we have kept until now. And may Allah ta'ala grant us the himmah, determination to continue fasting in the month of Ramadan and to continue worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Dawud Islami be glorious in every corner of the world. For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.